A few years ago, radio producer Otis Gray took to the stage at a Moth Story Slam to tell his story of settling a score, or trying to, on the lacrosse field. Here's Otis.
You know that kid in high school? The jock. Great at sports, good looking, he gets the girl. Well, I wasn't that kid. But I knew that kid. And his name was Andrew Boyle.
Everyone just called him Boyle because he had the personality of a festering wound.
I was an art kid in high school, and I had flaming red hair, which made me an easy target for Boyle and the other high school elite. They called me Ginger, Carrot Top, Daywalker. But I played sports. I played soccer, cross-country skiing, yes, a thing in Vermont, and I played lacrosse.
Boyle stuck to football, hockey, and also lacrosse. So we played midfield together, except he was on first string because he was good, and I was on third string because I knew what tertiary colors were.
Besides being a jock, besides acting like an alpha gorilla in heat, what made Boyle even more annoying was that he was really, really smart. Like, you'd call him out for being a jerk, and he'd humiliate you with logic, and he'd point, and he'd laugh.
He had this awful laugh. It was like a dolphin, like, ha.
Boyle and I were nemeses. Now, here's where things get interesting. Boyle and I had some weird mutual respect for each other, because I knew that under the sludge coating around his heart, he was actually a good kid. And even though he called me Vincent Van Gogh, which, if you think about it, that's a compliment, I think he respected my artistic abilities.
And our grandparents lived close together, so sometimes we would actually hang out, and we wouldn't tell anybody, because we were nemeses, and we had an image to uphold.
In school, I could deal with his insults. I just let him run out of steam, and I could go about my day. But there was one insult. There was one word that got under my skin every time, and he knew it.
He would wait till there's a bunch of people around, and he would yell as loud as he could, "Firebush!" This made me livid.
And one day, when I was at my wit's end, he yelled "Firebush!" across the entire cafeteria, and something snapped, and I decided Boyle's gonna die. Every month or so, our lacrosse coach ran a drill called Settle Your Beefs. Basically, if you had an issue with someone, this was your chance to call them out, and they had to go one-on-one with you to the goal.
And I usually do not participate in this because I was not good. But today was special because I had just gotten a brand new stick, and I was contemplating murder. So I step up
and I call out Andrew Boyle. The team goes berserk. Boyle just looks at me and he smiles.
And I know exactly what he's going to do. He does this one stupid dodge every time. He runs up, he like spins and throws his arm over your head. It's horrible, and I know he's going to do this, and I'm going to decimate him. So I am down. And I'm ready, and he starts his run, and he's coming at me faster and faster. And he does not stop. He plows straight into my body, and I feel this crunch in my chest as I'm sent through the air like a weightless ginger rag doll. And I'm on the ground, gasping for breath, looking up at the sky, and I hear the dolphin laugh. And Boyle steps over my dead body and places the ball into the goal.
The team was in tears, laughing. Even the coach could hardly stand up. And I looked over at my new stick, which he had hit so hard that it bent in a V shape across my chest.
Next time, Boyle. Next time.
That's Otis!
That's kind of where the story ends. There was no next time. When I got off the stage, people immediately came up and asked me, "Where's Boyle now? What's he doing?" And at the time, I didn't really know or care. 2 long years passed. I decided to dig up this story and pitch it to this show. They essentially rejected it. And they had the same questions that many others did. Where is Boyle? Well, funny story.
Before we start recording, you got to tell me what we're doing.
Why?
Because you got to tell me where this is going, who's going to listen to it.
Like legally?
What the rules are.
Unlike most humiliating high school memories, this one had emerged from the deep annals of history where it belonged and was now sitting in my family home in Vermont with his German Shepherd, Diesel, 10 years later, pouring me a glass of rye whiskey.
I'm Andrew Boyle. I work for the power company in Vermont, and I coach hockey.
I first told this story at a competition in Philadelphia, and it won. A video of me telling the story went online, and then it got published in Philly Weekly. People all over Philly would write me on Facebook or email saying things like, LOL, Boyle eats boogers, or haha, Boyle is a loser waffle. You rule, Otis. I felt a little bad, and I'd like to think that I decided to post this video on Facebook and tag him in it for ethical reasons, to let him know that I used his name. But if I'm being honest, I felt that I may have finally defeated Boyle, and I could not wait to tell him about it. Instead,
pumped up, loved it.
He shared it with everyone he knew.
Oh, everyone, yeah. Of course, somebody told a story about me on a big stage and won some money. Of course I'm going to share it with everyone. And then I think my parents shared it with all my grandparents and cousins. And then it was shared instantly by my entire fraternity in our group. I remember dating someone and they showed their family and their parents. Everyone.
We ran into each other at a bar around the holidays about a year back. He bought me the most expensive whiskey in the bar and he thanked me for telling the story. Told me he showed his little siblings too. And said if they acted like him, people would tell stories about them someday.
Do you vividly remember that day?
Yeah.
Really?
Do you?
I don't remember you calling me out. I don't remember breaking your stick. I remember always joking with you, calling you Firebush, but that's about it.
These last couple years, I thought telling this story gave me the upper hand with Boyle. But it's hard to feel like you're winning a feud that one side doesn't even remember they're in.
Did you want me to be upset about it?
I didn't have any intention at all. I just didn't think that you would love it and share it with everyone you
know. Oh, knowing my personality, you didn't think I would love it?
It didn't surprise me, but I was like, he won again.
But I was happy. I loved it, and I was happy for you, because it was yeah, Otis is killing it. He's doing well, and he's making me famous. This is awesome. I always knew you were going to be successful, because you're just crazy creative. And also just someone I didn't understand because you didn't care about competition. You were just someone that fascinated me because I had no understanding of how your brain worked.
How would you describe yourself in high school?
I don't know. I definitely didn't. I told you how I thought of you. I would not sugarcoat anything. And I did not care how you felt about it if I told you.
Do you think you could mess with me more than other people?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Why?
Because you're just you were always good. Whatever was going on, it was just Otis.
Somehow, sitting in front of Boyle right now, I feel like the jerk. For making him infamous as a bully, a tormentor, a jock.
Would you ever care that people thought you were just kind of a jerky jock?
No, that's fine.
Why don't you care?
I don't know, man. If you go through your whole life, living your life based on what people think of you, that's not, going to be a productive or happy life.
High school's good for people like you, I think. You were good at sports. You were good looking. You were smart. Teachers liked you a lot. You had a pretty good run of it.
Maybe. But, I wouldn't say I was I was good at those things because I work extremely hard at them. So it wasn't just I was just good at them. Before practice, I'd be waking up at 4:45 and going to workouts 3 days a week. wasn't like I was just good at it. I was just like, there was a reason I was good, is because I worked. Looking back now, I think when hearing you call me out for me was shocking. It was shocking because why is my friend calling me out? Like, why would Otis call me out? What is he mad about? Like, we joke around in the cafeteria, sure, but like, why would he be upset at me? So, but then probably feeding off everyone's reaction and being like, well, if you're going to call me out, Otis, like, okay, but I'm going to show you why I'm the one waking up at 4:30 every morning and working my ass off.
We ended the interview. Boyle got in his truck with his dog, Diesel, and he backed out of my snowy driveway into the night. And as the taillights disappeared into the darkness, I couldn't help being a little bit jealous of Andrew Boyle. Here's a guy who knows who he is. He has a code he lives by. He always has. He's sincerely confused about the notion of caring what people think. And I can't say the same for myself. I remember when my good friend's dad passed away in high school. My friend, she has celiac. She can't eat gluten. Boyle barely knew her, but went over to her house the morning after to cook her gluten-free mac and cheese, a memory that she still holds really close to this day. I asked him about this, and he doesn't even remember it. But he says it sounds like something he'd do for someone on the worst day of their life. Boyle's personality sometimes made him a real loser waffle. And I know that hearing all this will only make him more cocky. But it's also nice to know that someone that unabashedly sure of themselves has always believed in me, without a doubt. I don't know. What I do know is this time, he won again. And he's annoyingly undefeatable. Next time, Boyle, I'll bring the whiskey.
Otis Gray is a radio producer and storyteller living in Vermont. His story was originally told at a Moth Story Slam. Music courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions.